Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, here, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good stuff coming up for you in this hour. A little bit later, Seth and I are talking cars, the ones with the fewest issues and the ones with the most.
Okay, very nice.
Get into that. And speaking of vehicles, four ways you're supposed to pump your gas. You're pumping your gas wrong. Four
what?
Ways you're supposedly pumping your gas wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I'd like to hear those.
We start off the hour on a melancholy note, saying goodbye to one of the better actors of our generation, Seth, and Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Jim Morrison, Bruce Wayne, so many iconic characters that Val Kilmer played. Many of us 80s kids saw Top Secret or, you know...
what was that?
Not Weird Science.
It was that other one.
Real Geniuses.
There you go.
Real Geniuses.
Yep, that's one.
That's the one for me. Now, Willow is another good reference, I think.
Right.
One that's a sneaky one of his because he's not the lead actor in it or anything, but does have the greatest hair maybe in film history. There's something about Real Geniuses and his performance and his character that immediately as a young kid, 7 years old, wanted to be an actor, seeing him, and I'm like, there's something about that guy I just really like. And I would follow his career and see every single role that man did. And anytime I saw that he was a part of a movie, I've got to see it. I think that when I think of actors that I admire, there are a few actors that I will put ahead of Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer, I will say Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is one of his favorite, my favorite performances of his.
Yeah.
It's also the comeback performance of Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
It's a great little movie if you're looking for a movie of his you haven't seen. But the thing about Val Kilmer that I think stands out, again, as a young actor, and I would be years away from being a Screen Actor Guild member myself, the thing that stood out to me is hearing this story about Val Kilmer and why we didn't hear from him for a while and why he was blackballed in Hollywood. And it was because him and Jerry Bruckheimer had a kind of handshake agreement that after the Batman film, he would do another Batman, at least one more. They never signed a contract, and it took them a long time to kind of work this out because they just felt like, we're Batman, or we're Jerry Bruckheimer, we're bigger than this, we're bigger than any other actor. Well, Val Kilmer, during that time, his star rises. And he has the opportunity to do three movies instead of one. Now, doing the one Batman movie, not only would he make all of that money,
right,
but two times that money. Essentially set himself on a path for being an action star and all these other things. But he has the opportunity to do The Ghost in the Darkness with Michael Douglas, The Island of Dr. Monroe with Marlon Brando, and Heat, which he should have won a Best Supporting Actor role for.
Right.
Actually, he should have won it for Doc Holliday and Tombstone.
Yes.
He should have won a Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor award for that. It's a shame on the Academy that he did not.
Right.
He chooses to do these movies instead of the Batman movie. And he does this, and he said in many interviews, I had the chance to work with the greats. I get better when I work with the greats. That's what this is about. And right there, Seth, you can put it on my tombstone. That is what this game is about to me. When I say that I want to be the best, that's what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
It's not an ego thing. It's not I want everybody in the world to be able to say I'm the greatest actor of all time. It's this chase to be great. It's this chase that
it's the journey. Yeah.
Yes, you get to do something that a craft that you can get better at. That you could be Cary Grant in your 70s and still working and be great. Jimmy Stewart and do this. Val Kilmer got that. He got what this game is really about. He got that it was about the fans and it was about that. This is a guy that took a lot of heat in his career,
he
never, every chance he got, would talk to fans, would talk to you know, people that enjoyed his movies. There's many conversations where he's promoting one movie and he's talking about Willow or Top Secret or something like that, and how much he appreciated his place in this world. And then I don't say this very often, but I do tip my hat to Tom Cruise for reaching out to him and convincing him to do the role in Top Gun one more time because he couldn't speak anymore.
His voice was basically, I didn't know about this, that he had throat cancer, he had a couple tracheotomies, which, you know, basically destroyed his vocal cords, and which is, I mean, for a guy, something else people don't understand, musician.
Yeah.
He was an avid musician. I mean, he recorded lots of music. He released some of it, you know, that kind of thing. When you lose your voice and you're a musician like that, that's got to be devastating. That's got to be absolutely devastating.
I have no idea if Val Kilmer was a great person or not. I don't know. He seemed to come across as one. And I know that what he did do for me and many other actors and just entertaining us in so many wide variety of movies. Like, look at his IMDb page. And there's such a vast, like, not
very
only
versatile.
Roles he liked,
yep.
but very versatile. Very right. versatile. And again, that I as a kid growing up loving Westerns, there were a couple characters I always wanted to play. I always wanted to play Jesse James, you know, always wanted to play Doc Holliday, these things. And then I saw Val Kilmer do it. I'm like, nope, that's done. That character has been done.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to play Doc Holliday the better. Nobody. To the point that the man put himself in a hospital because of it, because he was trying to act like a character with tuberculosis.
Right.
My God, just an incredible, incredible actor career, and thankful for it.
One of my favorite roles, At First Sight. And he also said that was the most challenging role of his career.
Yeah.
He had to play a blind man, yeah. And he's very good at that. By the way, he got a lot of flack. You kind of referred to it of being a difficult actor on set. Mira Sorvino said he was perfectly professional and a gentleman on that movie. There was nothing wrong with it. So
I believe, because you didn't hear anything until he got blackballed. Mm-hmm. And I believe that a lot of that hype was from a lot of producers, a lot of people.
A couple
saying,
of directors were saying it too.
Yeah,
not great directors.
Yeah, yes, because you didn't hear actors saying that.
No,
and that's what I listened to. That's where I'm going with that. I'm your Huckleberry. Like, I heard that line, and I drove everybody around me crazy for the next 5 years. Any chance I get, I'm your Huckleberry.
That was the name of his memoir too.
Want to take a moment. There is no segue. So we're going to dive right into the Beatles biopics. The cast was revealed yesterday, but I think it's hard to say this, but even more fascinating to me than the casting is the attempt that's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Mendes, one of the better directors out there.
He's very good.
One of the more ambitious directors out there. Sam continues to challenge himself like actors do, or like a lot of people do. Him along with the cast... came out and announced this yesterday with John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr. They are going to be playing these characters. So Paul Mescal, you just saw in Gladiator 2 and a couple of other movies.
Okay.
He's going to be Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Joseph Quinn, who I believe in another Fantastic Four reference, he is Johnny, he's the Flint.
Johnny Storm?
Yeah,
okay.
Johnny Storm. He's going to be playing George Harrison. Barry Coogan, who is going to be playing Ringo Starr. Almost typecasting. Looks so Ringo-like.
It's hilarious.
Also, one of the bigger stars on the rise, as it's been in the last two or three years. Mm-hmm. His stars just keeps rising. He's a very good actor. Mm-hmm. Very good. And Harrison Dickinson's going to be playing John Lennon.
Okay.
Maybe not a very well-known actor. I've only seen him in a couple things, but he was in the most recent Kingsman movie.
Oh.
And he stood out to me.
Okay.
And I didn't know his name at the time or anything, but now, as soon as I saw his name in this, I'm like, Oh, I can see it. I can see it. And I actually really respect the choice. Who knows how good they're going to be at these roles or anything like that. We will see. Now, the thing that gets interesting about this is they're not doing one movie.
No.
Do you want to explain this? Or because I feel like I'm going to explain it and it's going to confuse the audience.
So when they first mentioned what they were going to do this, they said they're not making one, they're making four. They're making four films, each one from the perspective of one of the members of the band. Now, we don't know if that's going to be all over the same time period, if they're going to jump around. I mean, we have no idea what the structure of these films are going to be. But that is a fascinating way of going about this. And it's a way of not just doing a biopic of the Beatles as a group, but as the Beatles as individuals. Because they all were individuals, you know, within the group context. And they all had their own, you know, personalities and all these kinds of things. And I find that to be, it gives you a lot of room to really delve into certain things that I hope it gives them enough space. Because I knew that someday they were going to do a Beatles thing, right? We knew this was going to come. I was worried about the fact that they weren't going to give them enough time to go through everything that went on with this group. Now, the Beatles themselves, you look at interviews at the time, you look at interviews after, have been very honest about most of the stuff that went on about that. One of the things I give them credit for is that they didn't hide stuff. They just said, you know, this is what's going on. This is, you know, and they got in trouble for it sometimes. You know, look at John Lennon. He got in trouble a lot.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of stretching it out to incorporate all of them from their different views and that kind of thing, which makes sense. It's the Beatles. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for a lot of people.
One of the things I'm hopeful for is, let's just take one moment, for instance. John and Paul, after they had broken up, and they're getting together, having coffee, and watching Lorne Michaels talking on TV, how he's trying to get the Beatles back together, and they're talking about maybe doing it. That moment, and seeing it from both perspectives, John and Paul's. Mm-hmm. So say it's the same scene, but in each movie, it's from their different perspectives.
Right.
There's so many fascinating things about this part, what they're attempting here.
Yep.
Because it's also, you know, one of the most important things about any movie you've ever seen in your life is release date. When are they going to release it?
Right.
So much can depend on it. What is it going up against? What is what time of year is it? Is this a traditional time people go to the movies? This is a big deal. Mm-hmm. But then with this, are they going to release all four films at once? Are they going to release one at a time? Mm-hmm. Which one do you release first?
Boy, that's a good question.
That's so difficult to think of. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, this is, without them saying it, this is the movie industry's attempt to be, you guys like streaming? You like binging? What about at the theater? Because that's what they're trying to do here.
That's what it sounds like.
If Seth and I had told you the new Netflix project, this wouldn't be surprising at all. Mm-hmm. This is something that they do. Netflix, Hulu, Apple, Amazon.
All of them, yeah.
All of them do this, where they'll release a big project and they'll just, you know, dump it on your your feed right away and everything. This is the movie industry attempting to do that, attempting to do streaming and binging and all that stuff. I have no idea if it'll work, but if you're going to attempt it, I mean, take a big swing.
This is a huge swing. Yes. Because we know how popular the Beatles continue to be. And there's super fans all over the world. This is going to be one of those things where if you're going to attempt it, this is how you do it. Because there's a good chance. It doesn't matter. People are going to come see it no matter what. Or them. See them, I should say, because it's, like we said, multiple films.
I really cannot wait to see and hear more and more about how this develops and where it goes. Mm-hmm. A shout out to, I mean, right out the gate, I'm already am impressed.
Right.
Just at the attempt and just to announce this and even attempt something like this.
You know, something just occurred to me that when these come out or whenever, you know, like the next couple of years, maybe 2028 or something like that, that's the 100-year anniversary of sound. Of sync sound in films. Yeah, are we going to witness another, like, quote-unquote revolution in film? Maybe. We don't know. We'll see.
It's about that time.
Yeah. they could probably use it.
Traditionally, when these things happen, you know, I mean, that's a really interesting, I didn't think about that. That's a fascinating point. We want to remind everybody, our WFHR newsletter is currently hard at work.
Yep.
We've got our reporters working so hard on that and putting it together. A big shout out to all of our team that works on that one. And of course, Melissa Kay, EP in it, if you will, as we're in entertainment talk. Sign up for the WFHR newsletter right now. Head on over there, get to WFHR.com and sign up. It takes just a second or two. I will mention that there is a comment section. We love you to fill that out with things. Now, you don't have to necessarily fill it out with what you know, we're not doing. You can go ahead and tell us what you like.
Yeah.
Because that also helps us.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They like this, we'll keep doing this.
All feedback is good, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's all data, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate all of you who have signed up for the newsletter already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Encourage you to do that. We'll have a new episode dropping for you tomorrow, a new edition tomorrow.
Woo!
Seth and I will be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody.
It's my favorite Cheap Trick song, by the way.
Go on. Surrender. Easily.
Surrender's
easily
a good one, too.
Surrender.
Yeah.
God, I love that. That one that never gets old to me. That's maybe one of the few classic rock songs I could say that about.
Yeah,
that
I'm
one
sure.
Yeah. A silver Maine Coon cat from Minnesota was awarded a Guinness World Record after his tail was measured at 18.5 inches long.
Wow. That's a foot and a half.
That is incredible.
A long tail.
That is, how often does that almost get stepped on?
Oh, my, that poor cat.
Yeah. Amanda Cameron said her family's 2-year-old cat, Mr. Pugsley Adams, let that sit there for a second. That's a great name. Has always had a long tail. Wait. That's a good name, but they missed the mark if you're going to go with an Adams character.
Why?
Cousin It.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, man, that could have been Cousin It. Anyway.
Oh, well.
They
tried.
They said that Pugsley always had a long tail, and the subject even came up during her first visit to the vet. Cameron said the veterinarian mentioned it again 6 months later, inspiring her kids to research the Guinness World Records for the longest tail on a domestic cat.
Wow.
A living cat.
Right.
Quote, and what do you know? To our shock, Pugsley beat it. She said Pugsley is remarkably easygoing and friendly feline. Everybody always wants to meet him. He falls in love with his calm demeanor. He is pretty level-headed, and even in new situations that might be scary for some cats.
Mm.
He is also super soft, and he's always purring. So
oh, wow.
Probably going to bring a lot of people in.
That is. It's cats. Friendly cats, you know?
This is almost the opposite of everything you hear about cats, Pugsley. Now, we do, I think, a pretty darn good job around here covering Guinness World Records. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something we like to share with our audience and we have fun with and have heard from the audience for years how much you guys like hearing about these.
Right.
There's a reason we keep doing it. But I will say, I don't know how many of these it feels like everyone we do, it comes up later and this guy has 20 world records and he was spending months and months doing this or working at it and everything. And I don't have anything against that, but I don't know. Those don't mean as much to me as stuff like this, where it just happens. You know, it's just organic. It just kind of happens.
It was like, huh, I wonder what the record for the longest tail, you know, that kind of thing. And hey, we found out. Why, it's your cat.
And I feel very confident that it's never happened because kids pushed it. Like the mom wasn't, adults weren't really like, oh, that's a nice little story. Oh, that's interesting. They didn't really think much of this. The kids would not let this go. And just as similar as, are we there yet? Are we there yet? They were badgering mom about this. And look what happens. You know, it's kind of cool. It's an interesting story. And fantastic. And right up north of us here in Minnesota, we say hello to our friends up there.
They don't own any rocking chairs. I'm just going to put that on.
Nice. Yes. You're
100%. No rocking chairs in that house.
Definitely right about that. That's one of those ones where the cat leaves the room and you still got to give it a minute. Like, wait. You ever followed somebody with long coattails or a long dress? Like, it's like that, where you're just waiting 5 minutes
and
until they go.
And there they go. Because,
man, you don't want to be the one to step on that.
No.
You do not want to be that one. April Fool's Day means it is once again time for brands to get in on the fun with cheeky corporate capers, including hot sauce sunscreen, ranch-flavored soda, and a $19 fruit snack. $19. As we kind of wrap this story up, there was one more I wanted to get to. Some of this year's most notable corporate jargon was Crunchy Nestle Crunch Bar, Dr. Pepper-flavored Tic Tacs, and, of course, the grass-covered keyboard we talked about with Yahoo.
Yeah, we did.
But the Silent Crunch Bar, we did not get to mention.
The Silent Crunch Bar.
Nestle, one of the masters of chocolate, introduced a new Silent Crunch Bar, which uses cooked rice for 75% less noise than the standard crispy rice and chocolate treat. Because not all heroes wear capes. Some just cook their rice first. That is a tagline for the next Marvel movie.
Oh, no. I'm telling you, the idea of cooked rice and chocolate is not appetizing at all. Oh, man.
When it comes to companies doing almost too good at this, maybe no better example than Dr. Pepper flavored Tic Tacs.
Now, I got an issue with this one, okay? Mm. That one is not that far. Do you remember, James, my friend, back in maybe middle school or high school age, that kind of thing. Dr. Pepper Lip Smacker.
Yes.
That is not far from Dr. Pepper Tic Tacs.
No,
I am telling you.
Well, and I mean, I imagine that that's something people would actually purchase.
I agree.
They would actually
buy people would buy
like
that. Yeah.
That
wasn't out so far on a limb for Tic Tacs on that one, but.
Hot sauce company Tabanero heralded the arrival of the Caspian-infused sunscreen to keep you safe from sunburn while also giving your skin plenty of heat to complain about.
I like that was just right in the thing there.
That's a pretty good one.
It's so hot. Why are you in the sun? No. Sunscreen. It's hot sauce.
There's been some burning. I grabbed the wrong link. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
I had Dr. Pepper flavored Lip Smackers.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, see?
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly what we're talking about.
Would you do the Tic Tacs?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, I would absolutely do the Tic Tacs.
See?
Are you kidding? Dr. Pepper flavored Tic Tacs? Absolutely.
There's something about the Dr. Pepper flavor in these things that is also really unique. That's
true.
This particular soda, I don't know if you can do it with every soda, but this one
like
in particular.
Amaretto. It's like an amaretto flavor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, a little cherry maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say what it is.
Yeah.
It's cherry and almond. So for those of us over 21 that can drink adult beverages, if you want a Dr. Pepper like smack in your mouth, order a Dr. Pepper amaretto the next time you're at the bar.
There you go.
And there's a preview of our new segment of
Good morning, boys. I'm on my way back to Wisconsin Rapids. This is Melissa Kay.
Mm-hmm. Safe travels, Mel.
Yeah.
And amazing work last night.
Yes.
Really, really good work last night.
We know what you had to go through behind the scenes.
Well, I was just looking through our stations here on my drive back, and I caught you guys talking about lip smackers, and I had to call in and tell you about my collection that I had in high school.
Oh, you had a collection?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, you know, I got my purse stolen in my early 20s, and the thing I was the most upset about was losing my chapstick collection. Oh. I probably had, like, 15 of them in my purse.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you still collect them? Do you still...
It's a reduced collection now.
Yeah,
I have specifics. I have my purse chapstick. I have my knitting kit bag chapstick. I have my work desk chapstick. You know, there's specific chapsticks for specific places.
But you've definitely slowed down.
The obsession has tailed off.
I've gotten my obsession under control.
That's right, Audra.
If I come across a Dr. Pepper chapstick, I'm absolutely buying it.
Oh, my gosh,
They got to sell it. There's got to be something.
They got to do it now. They got to do it.
I'm going to be on the lookout, Mel.
But you guys, when I go to my dentist, this is where I get my chapstick fixed now. When I go to my dentist in Sparta Dental, they always give me a chapstick, and there's choices. And I think I got like a pineapple mango this last time.
Ooh, I like that. He had me pineapple.
They source them locally, and so they're like locally made. Chapsticks, and they have a variety of options usually when I'm there, and they're always different. It's so awesome. I love going to my dentist.
I don't know if I've ever heard that sentence before.
My dentist is awesome. I love going to my dentist.
That's great, Melissa. That's really great to hear.
I think I get to go this week.
Have fun.
I'll update you on chapstick later this week.
Yeah, she'll let us know what new flavor we got going on.
I hope I get Melissa for the white elephant next year for our Christmas party.
You know what you're getting.
Yep. We appreciate you, Melissa.
Coming up.
And great work again last night.
You too.
Incredible work by Melissa Kay, our head of news around here, and we appreciate her. We are going to take a quick time out, get to our news partner. We'll get to Melissa at sports in our partner break, and we'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's talk cars.
All right. Let's talk some cars, man.
Let's talk some cars.
Yeah. Man.
J.D. Power has released its 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study, which analyzed the durability of three-year-old cars from the model year of 2022.
Okay.
Interesting parameter there.
Yes.
This is the way they usually
do
this.
Idea. Yeah.
Lexus has the top ranking brand for a third consecutive year. It was followed by Buick, Mazda, Toyota, and Cadillac.
Okay.
Of all 30 brands, Volkswagen ranked last. Chrysler was next worst, followed by Jeep, Audi, and Land Rover.
What's going on with the Germans, man? What they used to be like the standard.
The standard.
Of car engineering, and now they're all on the bottom. Not sure what that means, but...
Interesting note, Tesla wasn't included in the rankings because they wouldn't cooperate, but they would have been below the industry average.
Of course they would have been.
What a silly thing to fight against. One of the greatest phrases I've ever heard in my life and that I live by is choose your battles wisely. And then there's the opposite of that, of what anything this guy does.
Choose every battle. Like
This guy has such a lives in such a bubble and has so many yes men around him that he doesn't realize that if he did nothing, it would actually be better.
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
And it's not, that's not far-fetched. I'm saying that with all honesty. Like, it's just remarkable to me. Or, I don't...
You know, he just gets his actual career of being a sad clown. That's what he really needs to do. He needs to be a sad clown.
Oh, no, I can't unsee it. Oh, every time I see him, that's the first thing I'm going to think of now, is a sad clown without the makeup. Oh, that's good. Oh, that you nailed that.
There you go.
That's not even trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. Like, I've never been able to place it, what it is about his face. That's it. He looks like a sad clown without the makeup. That's hilarious. I'm curious, too, if anybody pays attention to these things. When you're buying a vehicle, do you look this stuff up? I'm genuinely asking. That's not me like trying to set something up here or anything like that. Right. I really do wonder. I've bought in about 5 or 6 vehicles in my life, and I've never really looked at new vehicles. It's always been used vehicles, or calling somebody up, or as you do, like Craigslist or these kind of things.
Sure.
I'll tell you this: my next car coming from a dealership. I'll tell you that right now.
That's probably wise.
I don't know what my next vehicle is going to be, but it'll definitely going to be coming from a dealership. I learned my lesson. But I'm curious if people do look at these things and look at these reports or not. Yep. Let's talk to our audience.
One to be connected to a Google.
I thought that was going to be something good.
Yeah,
I really did.
That's a bummer. Hey, Google thing or whatever you are.
Google learning our Google. We don't need you.
We don't need you.
And again, further evidence that we have nothing to worry about with AI or anything. We get evidence every day if we're paying attention.
It's true.
What AI just did. They called a morning radio show. To try to sell Google something.
Whatever it was. Yeah, yes.
Way to go, AI.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, though, one of the industries that I do think could be helped by AI is the car industry. And a lot of the ways. And I don't mean like making our vehicles all tech.
Right. I know what you mean.
But the idea of so much opinion goes into building. So much thought goes into building. And for every great thing that involves of human creativity that no machine could ever match, there is stuff that you kind of need less emotions with and just straight up, hey, this is working, this isn't.
Right.
AI is very good at that.
That would be an interesting application. I've never really heard a lot about that side of it, which would be interesting to see. By the way, so Lexus is number one, right? Toyota owns Lexus, which I think is really interesting, seeing how Toyota is actually lower on the list.
Because
it's a more of a luxury car, I guess. They put more into it, maybe. I don't know, but
I also was a little surprised by some of the rankings of these, but the thing that stood out to me, you hit on right away about Volkswagen and the German industry, the German
Chrysler
car building.
Too. Yeah, it's owned by a German company,
That's wild to think of that industry, getting passed by, no pun intended. that's just crazy. When I was a kid, I would have thought that.
No. I mean, you think of the BMWs and Mercedes and Volkswagen, which were considered the standard, boy. How the mighty have fallen.
I don't know if I saw it in a James Bond movie or what, because there's no way where I grew up and how I grew up, I ever saw one in real life. But when I was a kid, I think a lot of people have their dream car. Mm-hmm. It usually comes from your Matchbox collection.
Absolutely.
And I had, like most of you out there, I had a great the Matchbox General Lee. Car collection. Yes, there we go. Because it was orange. you don't have to worry about opening the doors. It's a lot smoother.
Going through the windows.
In and out.
Why would you do that? Anyway, sorry.
Jaguars. I had a little Matchbox car Jaguar, and I thought it was amazing. And part of it was my grandfather telling me about how German design, Italian design, German engine, and how important that German engine part was. Just hearing the rest of my life from that point on about how great the Germans were at the industry making vehicles,
engineering, and that sort of thing. Yeah,
really wild to think of them getting lapped.
Yeah,
that's wild to me to think of. I wouldn't have thought of that.
It's crazy.
Interesting list, but I think what's more interesting to me, or at least to me about this, is does anybody pay attention to these lists? Does anybody, other than the people in the industries, of course?
Right. Well, and I would think you would want to, if you're looking for dependent. Boy, because of how expensive cars are nowadays, or if, like you said, you're looking for a used car, well, which one is going to be more durable? Which one's going to last longer for me, even though it's been on the road already for a while? And that's another way you're going to choose, why you want, because I can't think of people who wouldn't want a durable vehicle. That would be very weird.
Something that I've heard, and this isn't from people in the vehicle industry. Mm-hmm. It's some of my friends in sales and marketing, okay. and people I talk to in media in that regard. And I'll admit these people are stationed out west, okay. So that varies. That may change it a little bit.
But sure.
One of the things that I've found interesting talking to them is how much the car industry is still hanging on by a thread in many ways, going back to when they were bought out a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still on that, and the idea of what do you do next? Like for we've made the joke for years, and the new 2026 Mazda is coming out, and it looks just like the 2026 Chrysler and the 2026 Lexus. I uh-huh. mean, they all look the same now. Every vehicle looks alike, and because they're so afraid of trying something different, they're mm-hmm. so afraid of making something and it bombing. So instead of taking any even slight chance, they're going to do the status quo. And that has a shelf life, and we're seeing it.
Yeah.
We're seeing it right now.
Yeah, yeah, right now. If you want to look worldwide, okay, especially with like electric vehicles, everyone else is being slaughtered by the Chinese right now because they're the only ones that have invested in it.
Yeah.
And now they're selling them like hotcakes in Europe. This is the reason why, people. This is why. Because there's no innovation, like you just said, man. There's nothing new under the sun. Hey, you know, try. If you want to, go for it, you know?
I mean, you know, for every failure, there's a success.
Yeah.
It's not as if, you know, any famous car I can mention right now, mm-hmm. a Mustang or any of these, came out the gate bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
It took time. It took them to build and everything.
Right.
One of the interesting things coming out of the marketing industry that I'm hearing, though, is people trying to parody, of course, as we always see, mm-hmm. and seeing the business model of Amazon and return policies.
Mm.
And the idea that industries you would have never thought would have this are going to have this.
Mm.
And the talk that came up of this, the first industry, was the car industry.
Right.
And the idea that you could buy a car, and if you don't like it, a week later, return it.
Right.
Like, that's wild to me. But they're really, we're on the cusp of that. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. going to happen, but we're on the cusp of it because these industries are scrambling trying to figure out what to do.
They have to do it. Yeah, right.
Some guy on TikTok went viral with a list of 4 ways you might be pumping your gas wrong. And you know, take this with a grain of salt,
right.
of course. But
yeah.
For everything that might be seem a little silly, there might be something that might help be a tip for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And for so many of us that have been doing this since we were kids, because I don't know about anybody out there, but man, any chance my dad had to send me out into the Chicago winter to fill up the tank, I was doing it.
So, I don't want to get out.
This is how you learn. This is how you learn. It was always disguised by that. It was always, this is how you learn. You know,
if you hear that from your parents, something is suspect.
Yes. So fill up in the morning or at night. He says gas expands when it's warm, so you get a little more for your money when it's cold out.
Okay.
You won't save enough to retire, but it won't hurt. Now, in theory, yes, but don't worry about it. Consumer Reports tested it out, and it only saves you a few cents at best.
Yeah.
Gas stations store fuel underground where the temperature doesn't fluctuate much,
right.
So there's not really a huge difference.
No, because the gas itself wouldn't have changed. Yeah, that's right.
I will say this as working at gas stations for a couple of years, one thing I will say that they get right is get your gas in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because prices tend to go up, they don't tend to go down, and when they do, it happens in the mid-afternoon, or late morning, early afternoon.
It's during the day, yeah.
So, you know, getting it done in the morning usually can save you a little bit. And for me, the other day, I went and got gas at $2.99 when I'm driving home after the shows here.
$3.30.
Yeah, so 30 cents a gallon, I mean, you know, that stuff adds up. Put the nozzle clip on the lowest setting. He says it's worth the wait because the faster you pump, the more it turns to vapor. The gas pumps have, quote, vapor return lines that suck it back in so it doesn't end up in your tank.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe, but we're talking pennies. Your time is worth might be worth more. So, you know, the hurry part might be more.
Yeah, exactly. What's the trade-off, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't wait until your tank is empty. Now, this one, any papa, grandfather, dad has been telling us this for a very long time, especially here in the Midwest, where we know that our cars may not start if it's too low.
Right, exactly.
Your tank can freeze. And
always, you hear it every year before winter. It's like, make sure you have at least a half a tank around, you know, when it gets really cold.
This gentleman claims a gas evaporates faster when there's more air in there, but again, it doesn't make a huge difference. The real reason to follow the advice of gas tanks have sediment at the bottom, and when your tank is low, more of it can clog up your filters.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
So better to always ride with at least half a tank, just not for the reason this guy says.
Right. Okay.
So this guy isn't coming at this from a bad angle necessarily. No. I just feel like it's something.
It's nothing really that groundbreaking. Mm. No earth shattering stuff here.
And don't gas up when a tanker truck is there.
Huh?
Again, it's not a big deal, but those underground tanks have sediment too, and it gets stirred up each time they're filled. It could mean more gunk gets in your system, but your car has a fuel filter, and gas stations have filters too.
They do.
If you want to be extra careful, hit a different station, but it may not make that big of a difference.
Nothing here is, this is like little dinky stuff. There's nothing here that's, yeah. And well, this is why when you see something on social media, you know, verify.
I'm hopeful that maybe some of this might be a helpful tip or might be interesting sure. to some, but it is really hitting on what you're talking about there, too.
This is like pennies on the dollar stuff, yeah.
And this guy has gone incredibly viral with this.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't take everything you hear, do a little bit of homework, and
probably other ways you can save a few bucks, not by trying to game the gas tank, the gas pump, right?
Now, that we would love to hear from you.
Yeah,
we would love to hear from
go.
Our audience about that. That one and different tips you got for that, everybody. The phone lines are always open, 715-424-2600. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Seth and I are going to take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay.
We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us. We're going to wrap up the show, take it to the top of the hour. Got some community things we want to talk about and let you know what our schedule's looking like. But we haven't done a That Ain't Right story in a while, Seth. And this is a doozy. This may go down as one of the more classic ones. Imagine you're flying overseas. You got to the airport early, made your flight. Everything is rolling for you. You are doing this. You are killing this. You are nailing it. And you're on a United Airlines flight from LA to Shanghai, and it had to turn around.
Oh, no.
Over the Pacific.
Oh, no.
And why? Because a pilot forgot his passport.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Want to get away?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to do.
No.
It was already set to be a 14-hour flight. Then they turned around about an hour and 45 minutes in, then landed in San Francisco to swap out the crew. They got to San Fran about 3 hours after taking off from L.A. Passengers were told they'd been a, crew-related issue, but they didn't hear about the passport until later. They waited around for 5 hours before finally taking off again. They ended up landing in Shanghai about 6 hours late.
Wow.
United reportedly gave each passenger a $15 meal voucher for their trouble. Well, I'm sure that made it all okay. So my That Ain't Right story is certainly the pilot for forgetting the one thing you're not supposed to forget as a pilot.
You're the pilot.
But it actually is a bigger That Ain't Right story about United Airlines.
Man.
I would almost rather them, if this happened to me, don't do anything. If this is what you're going to do, don't even do anything. That would be better than the slap in the face of a $15 meal, not even a free meal, a $15 free meal voucher. Talk about how can you show you are less in touch with your consumers.
Yeah, so out of touch.
I mean, these companies are killing the airline industry.
Yeah,
they're killing it. This is my argument about like people that own a sports franchise. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the black, you're doing it wrong. You're bad at business.
Yeah, we've reached the point now with the airline industry. Well, and I'm gonna talk specifically the United States here. We need to rip the Band-Aid off. We need to nationalize the whole thing.
Yeah.
And maybe later, after we've organized and gotten this thing back to where it should be, maybe we can, you know, get rid of it and send up private interests again. But it is so bad right now. It has gotten to the point where it's I don't want to fly anymore. I do not want to fly anymore because we've got the issues with the Boeing planes. We've got, you know, experience. You know, I hear horror stories from everybody about traveling on a plane these days, you know, on delays and cancellations and stuff. I've experienced it myself recently. It's horrible. It's awful.
I've heard a little bit of rumblings about this over the last couple of years, but I have to say one that really stood out to me. I've mentioned my friend Will. He's a stand-up comedian out west. Mm-hmm. He has a thing where every other month he heads to Vegas
right.
and does a weekend stay there. He's looking at trains, buses.
Anything.
He's thinking about driving from Oakland to Vegas instead of taking a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real – because Will has been flying literally his whole life,
right?
Either out of LAX or wherever he's coming from, mm-hmm. and flying is nothing to him. I've flown with him and it's yep. nothing to him. He just sleeps through the whole flight,
right.
all that. for him and people like him that really rely on the airline industry so much, for them to be taking a step back just really stood out to
me. You can't rely on it anymore. You can't do it.
And I, just as my own personal note on this one, it just hurts in a way. I love flying.
Right.
I really do mm-hmm. enjoy the transportation in general element, taking a train, riding horseback. I love these things.
Sure.
And flying is something I've flown probably 10, 15 times,
right.
but I still don't feel like I've done it enough. Now, I don't know if I'll ever do it again. That's wild to me to think
Unless
of.
Something changes.
Or I don't know when I'm going to do it again
exactly.
is what I should say.
That's a
say.
Good way of putting it because you never know when you might have to.
Yeah.
It's not a good experience anymore. Not at all.
We need a palate cleanser, and one of the best ones we could have is a local birthday. I missed this one. I apologize, everybody, but we want to take a spotlight on Mary Callahan. Happy 60th to her. Big 6-0.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mary.
Mary is the mom of Laura, one yes. of our team members around here, mm-hmm. our sound engineer and everything.
Yep.
And Mary's awesome. She's great and a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Callahan. Sorry, I just love that last name.
It's a great Callahan. Name. Oh, it's a great last name. Callahan's a great last yeah. name. And Mary's a great first name. Mary's awesome. Wishing yep. you a happy birthday, Mary. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. Sorry we didn't get this in. However, that does mean that you automatically qualify for tomorrow.
Hey, nice.
So that worked out. That worked.
Yep, very good.
However, your daughter works here, so you can't win anything.
Either way.
Mary, enjoy the day. We hope it's a great one.
Yes.
It's great. She's awesome. I bet she smirked at that. I want to remind everybody about our schedule and something going on all day throughout the afternoon today and going on all week here is Civic Media's statewide Break into Spring Text to Win contest.
Mm-hmm.
Be listening with Jane and Greg in just a little bit in the 11 o'clock hour. They'll yep. have a keyword for you to text to us. Then again at 1 and 4, and then we'll do it all over again tomorrow, 7, 11, 1 and 4. We will have that top of the hour word for you.
I got to say, real quick, yesterday, of course, we had our all-staff meeting. We do those on Tuesdays for the entire Civic Media Network. And Sage put up the, you know, where we are, the rankings of how many entries we've had. And I have to say that FHR and WIRA have almost the exact same number, which is really cool.
Yeah.
We have jumped so high from the last couple of these that we have done. Congratulations, everybody. Thank you for participating, giving us, making us look really good right now.
Not
it's
only
really awesome.
Do you give us bragging rights, but that gives us the ability to do more here. When they see how much you guys are listening and caring about local radio, mm-hmm. that only makes them want to invest in us more and be able to do more and
That's
cover
right.
more around
That's
here.
Right.
It really does add up, everybody, and we greatly appreciate you
we
for
do.
Doing it. I mentioned Jane and Greg are coming up in a little bit. Be sure to join us for that. And then Midday Magazine a little bit later today. From 4 to 5, join us as we spend the entire hour with Wood County Sheriff's Department. We'll have Sheriff Sean Becker in with us. Always good hanging out with Sean. And, of course, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media will be here as well.
Very nice.
After that, we got Playmakers lined up for you. Be sure to join us. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Big shout-out to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods for sponsoring that hour. We'll be talking a lot of sports today. I believe Michael will be in with us, so we'll probably touch
very
on
good,
some
very good.
Cool stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, we had two other things we wanted to mention.
One, of course, it's Wednesday, of course, and that means over at the Elks Lodge, it's bingo night.
Bingo!
Head on over there at 5 o'clock. The door's open. The bingo starts at about 6:30. Get your seat early because it fills up quick, everyone. That's at 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Elks Lodge number 693. And here at this very building here. We are looking for information, everyone. If you are an organization that is having an Easter egg hunt in the next couple of weeks for Easter, we would like to know about it because we love to tell people about these sorts of things. So let us know. You can call us up weekdays from 9 to 4, 715-424-1300. You can always leave a message, of course, as well on our voicemail, or you can email info@wfhr.com or info@wiri.fm. Either one, we would love to be able to promote your Easter egg hunt coming up.
Looking forward to talking those. I love the hunts. I love talking hunts.
Love it.
And I want to remind everybody, our great friends over at Family Natural Foods, next Tuesday, April 8th, 5 o'clock, digestive health and cleansing, or cleaning, with a cleansing, I'm sorry.
You were right.
Dr. Tracy going to be there. Dr. Tracy's awesome. She's a much better talker than I am. And
she's been here before. She's done some really good stuff.
She's great. This is a great opportunity for you to learn more about you and how you can make your life that much healthier, better, and fun. Digestive health and cleansing, April 8th, 5 o'clock over Family Natural Foods. Be sure to check that out. Buy local, support local, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked Reddit to name subtle signs someone's generally a good person. Top answers included, can admit weakness and apologize.
That's a good one.
How cool is that?
That's
cool. Those were the top answers.
And I agree. I think that's very very telling.
They do the right thing when it's inconvenient and they return shopping carts. I just love that last part. Just throw it in there. Just
like,
you know, yeah, they
it's
do
a
the
small
right
courtesy,
thing.
But it's a courtesy.
Even when nobody's looking, they're that's doing right. the right things. They hold door open for little old ladies,
yes.
And they return the shopping cart.
Always do that. Always
one.
Return the shopping cart.
As somebody who used to have to do that job, I appreciate you people doing that. Seth, great show. Appreciate you.
Yeah, good day.
Have a great day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.